ABC Radio Perth.
Russell and Nadia.
Christine Layton.
Drive with Jeff.
Gillian O'Shaughnessy.
Barry Nichols.
Jess Strutt on Focus.
On ABC Radio Perth and on the ABC Listen app.
The WA Art Gallery is impossible to miss. A hulking mass of raw concrete with tall walls, it cuts a dramatic profile in the Perth skyline. But on the other hand, despite its sheer size, it seems to manage the impossible. With its soft, sandy walls, it almost blends in. The Art Gallery was opened in October in 1979 by Charles Court. 40 years later, curators have turned their attention to the building itself instead of the exhibits inside.
What do I love about it? I love lots about it.
That's Melissa Harpley. She's a curator here at the gallery.
For me as a curator, it's a fantastic building to work in. One of the things that Frank Norton, who was the director through a lot of the time of the design of the building, was working not with 90 degree angles but with wider angles around the 120 degrees. So the hexagon shape is very strong within our building, and as a curator to be able to work with those open angles gives you a wonderful kind of freedom to actually create really interesting sight lines and have conversations happening between works of art that you just wouldn't get in a building that had 90 degree angles. So I love it.
And it's a brutalist building, but when you look at it, it's not brutal at all. It's quite beautiful. Could you explain a bit about, I guess, the time period and this type of architecture?
So the term brutalism in architecture, I think, is a really interesting one. There seems to be quite an association amongst people with brutalism as being, you know, aligned with the word brutal, in that it's actually a kind of it's an aggressive, it's not a welcoming kind of architecture. But it's actually, to my mind, to actually misunderstand the genesis of the word. So it actually comes from the French, and it refers really to raw concrete. So brutalism as a kind of architectural style actually refers to a kind of purity of approach towards materials, so that it's not necessarily a kind of negative in its use. And I think that it's really good to think of brutalist architecture as actually part of a long trajectory throughout the 20th century. There is a move of actually trying to get a kind of truth to materiality, so having architecture that doesn't hide what it's made of by sticking on columns and pilasters and statues and so on, but actually pairing it back to the bare essentials, if you like, of the building. So perhaps it's more simple than brutal.
And this building, it's a beautiful, sandy, not white, but, you know, off-white. Some brutalist buildings are dark grey, that sort of thing. Why is it doesn't conform to that type of brutalism?
It's an interesting one because, yes, we do tend to think of brutalist architecture worldwide as being that kind of raw, off-form concrete, which really does have that kind of grey colour palette and can seem really kind of imposing and kind of depressing and drab. Perth, being located kind of on the western edge of the Australian continent, actually had a really interesting history of building types which refer much more to a kind of Mediterranean style of building. I think perhaps one of the really obvious examples of that is some of the buildings around the University of Western Australia when that was set up in the early part of the 20th century. And that tends to favour a palette that's more in those kind of light ochre, sandstone kind of tones that perhaps speaks also to the limestone base on which Perth is built. And so, yeah, what we have is not an off-form concrete building, but in fact a building that's clad in concrete blocks that do have a slightly honeyed colour to them. I think probably too in the 70s it was actually a cost factor, in that off-form concrete is actually very expensive to get right and to get it beautiful, and that to build with the blocks actually gave us a more cost-effective, shall we say, outcome.
And Perth is quite an isolated city even now, but in the 70s it was a bit smaller as well. Were there a few quite influential architects that shaped, I guess, the brutalist buildings in the city?
I think that's a really, really interesting question, because we do have this sense of Perth being isolated. You know, Perth talks about itself as being the most isolated city in the world. But in fact, in the 20th century, there was huge kind of movement in and out and through the city, certainly in the days pre-flight. All the ships from Europe actually stopped in Fremantle first, so people did actually stay in Perth. But there is a really interesting moment post-war where there's particularly seems to be a grouping of Polish-trained architects working in Perth, working in the Public Works Department in Perth, and they really bring a very strong European sensibility to their work as architects, but also their conception about what the importance of culture is to a city, and that the fact that the city actually needs a cultural centre and cultural activities. And so we have that really really interesting mix of that, as you say, that sense of isolation, but in fact we're very much connected into contemporary debates from the kind of 50s and into the 60s and even early 70s.
And it's not the only Brutalist building in Perth. What are the really, not loved ones, but noticeable ones that people might not know are actually Brutalist?
Well, around the city centre, probably the clearest one is probably the train station at East Perth, which is a fabulous, fabulous item. The campus of Curtin University is really worth a visit. There are a lot of really good Brutalist buildings out on the campus at Curtin. I think too, you know, going to the coast, actually looking at this much smaller scale, but the change rooms at Floreat Beach still fit into that kind of raw formed concrete shape and kind of a arguably Brutalist, but also very much, I think, very Western Australian in their design.
For someone with not a lot of knowledge about architecture, what would be your best tips for spotting a Brutalist building?
I guess looking at the materials that the building's made from. So looking for a building that's unadorned as well, so that it's a very kind of pure in its shape and pure in its expression. There's no sense of hiding what it is, if you like.
Why do you think it's important to protect these buildings?
Perth's kind of a really interesting city in that we do tend to demolish a lot and rebuild over things, and it's a city that's in some ways feels like it's kind of constantly being reborn or remade anew. And by doing that, you obliterate your past and you kind of deny where you've come from as a city. So I think if you can keep a richness of building stock that reflects period of time, we keep with ourselves a much better understanding of where we've come from and therefore who we are and where we might be going in the future.